Well, for all the fears around about AI and its impact on humans and human workforces in particular, our next guest asks whether AI could fix some of the gap problems that exist in the medical system and that leave human doctors burnt out and human patients underdiagnosed. Charlotte Blees, PhD, is the author of the book Dr. Bot, Why Doctors Can Fail Us and How AI Could Save Us. She's Associate Professor at the Participatory eHealth and Health Data Research Group at Uppsala University in Sweden. And in 2026, Charlotte is visiting professor at the Department of General Practice and Primary Care at the University of Melbourne. Welcome to Sunday Extra, Charlotte Blees.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's great speaking with you. Why did you write this book, Charlotte?
I wrote the book because I believed there wasn't a very good picture of the psychological limitations, the human limitations of being a doctor. So put another way, if you take seriously, doctors aren't gods, and you consider what they're expected to do as human beings, it's absolutely colossal. And so the idea for the book was to say, let's really take a serious picture of everything they're supposed to do, keep up to date with information, multitask, talk to people empathetically. And on top of all of that, keep up to date with information that's coming at them increasingly. I made a calculation that every 2 seconds there's a new biomedical publication that comes out.
So there's no way you can keep up with all of them.
You cannot, there's not enough hours in the day, even if you were to commit it to memory, which you would have enough hours in the day to do. So it's a really serious and hard job that they have to do. And it's no wonder about 50% of the doctors are burned out. So the challenge then is to say, can technology serve as solutions or as workarounds, or how can it help doctors in their jobs? So it's a bit of both. It's looking at the identifying the problems and saying, how can AI help? And ultimately, the purpose of medicine is the care of patients. Mm. So what does it do for patients?
Could you give us an example of some of the stories from patients that you found in the course of researching this book and have published, and what insights they give you to these sorts of problems?
Yeah, I mean, I cover lots of different patient stories in the book, from access to healthcare to using their Apple Watches. I had one elderly patient who used his Apple Watch that was given to him by his son-in-law. And this watch accurately diagnosed AFib, which is a heart condition. And he went to his doctor to discuss it. And the doctor said, I don't care what your watch is telling you. It's, you know, I'm telling you from the charts and from the last readings we did together, you don't have this condition. But the doctor didn't actually do anything. She just was extremely cynical about the technology. And in fact, he later did need to be taken to the ER because of his heart condition. And the watch accurately got there sooner. So it's looking at that relationship too between the medical profession and how they view technology sometimes, because sometimes it's competition to them. Doctors have skin in the game too, not just big tech. And it's considering how these tools can be used to get more accurate diagnoses, but also to give patients information. So I've got another patient who has a very rare condition called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome that affects your mobility, your joints in your body. She lives with abject pain. Pain is one of these conditions, a bit like tiredness, that doctors sometimes, they get patients have it, but it can be a bit tedious to listen to sometimes, even if they're completely honest. And she has found that she uses ChatGPT, generative AI tools, these sort of AI chatbots, to help her to advocate for herself in visits. So it tells her, gives her a bit of advice and coaching on what to say, but it also gives her information on latest medications, latest treatments, things that she can do even to help organise her day. So it's assisting, these tools are assisting patients in their everyday lives too, and making them feel more empowered. And we're also seeing that they're being used as first opinions, but also as second opinions, checking what the doctor says as well.
That's interesting, yeah. So you paint a picture of patients really moving ahead with engaging with AI-driven technologies in their own personal health stories. To what extent are, well, they're some of the benefits that you've identified. What are the risks of patients doing that, or some of the concerns from the medical profession that you think have substance?
Well, doctors do get concerned because they worry about so-called hallucinations with some of these tools. In other words, they can sound compellingly correct even whenever they're giving you inaccurate information. Now, that is a worry and it's a risk. I think there's also a risk with younger people using these tools too, that they may be depending on them a lot for social or emotional support. But when it comes to the inaccuracies, the so-called hallucinations, you know, we've also got to benchmark this. We've got to say, compared to what? And a lot of the time, patients don't get rapid access to medical care. They can't afford it, or they just don't have time during the visit to raise all the concerns that they have. And the other thing I want to say is doctors make errors too. So we have, you know, it's not comparing doctors again to this image of them as being gods who always get things right. If you go to a primary care appointment, anywhere between 5 and 20% of visits, it's estimated lead to misdiagnosis. So, you know, at least once in our life, we're going to be affected by a misdiagnosis. So doctors make mistakes too. We've also got evidence that doctors practice evidence-based medicine only around 50% of the time, which is, you know, pretty alarming. You know, if a chatbot obtained those sorts of figures, we would be very alarmed. So we've also got to have, and in some sense my book is saying we should be cynical about AI, but let me tell you, we've also got to be cynical about what we've got, if you like, the legacy structures of human-mediated care. Because, and again, for very human reasons, doctors can't get it right all the time, even though they're really trying their best. So that's the comparison we've got to make.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Charlotte Blees about her book, Dr. Bot, Why Doctors Fail Us and How AI Could Save Us. And as I mentioned, Charlotte, you've got a visiting professorship in Melbourne University at the Department of General Practice and Primary Care this year. I wonder, presuming that most of your research has been on health systems other than Australia's, how have you found the Australian health system compares to your international research?
So I've always taken a very sort of universal perspective when I do this research. I'm really concerned about the human being in the visit and the limitations of being like a homo sapien trying to do this job, no matter where you would plant them in the world. So again, what I found is it's some of those similar problems you get in many rich Western countries where doctors are really struggling to do their job. They're doing their utmost, but they're struggling with the number of hours in the day, the limits on the number of patients they can see. So it's echoes of some of the health systems that I've worked in or lived in, including in the US, the UK, from Northern Ireland, and also in Sweden. You do see some of the same issues raised again and again. And unfortunately, the perspective I take is we can't just throw more money at the system that we've got. You know, that's not to say that we don't, you know, invest well in our own health systems. Of course we should. It's not a reason to have a sort of laissez-faire approach to health systems. But my view is similar in Australia as other countries. It's almost about, if you could rewrite history and you could start again, what would be the health system you would start with? And ultimately, you'd probably start with technology and work around how best to use these tools.
Charlotte,
so similar themes emerge.
Yes, yeah. Interesting. You've talked about what sounds like a pretty enthusiastic embrace of AI by patients. In the book, you also describe a long history of medicine hesitating to embrace groundbreaking innovations. Now, to some extent, I think that might be contrary to what we perceive about the medical industry generally and advances in medical technology. Could you elaborate on what you're talking about there?
Yeah, so I mean, the history of medicine sort of isn't unimpeachable in this regard. What we've seen is, and historians have worked on this. You know, take for example, antiseptics, penicillin, anesthesia. Anesthesia is a big one. Hand washing, clinical trials, vaccines. There was resistance to all of these innovations in the day. Anesthesia is a really interesting one because. It was resisted because surgeons, despite literally hearing the cries of patients, they viewed their skills as really important here. They'd taken a long time to hone their skills, which was to do surgery very quickly, to diminish the amount of time that the patients were in pain. But nonetheless, patients were in pain. But there was this resistance to these innovations. And so therefore, sort of by an inference, we should worry. Telemedicine is another one that, by the way, COVID catalyzed. It was known for a very long time that telemedicine would benefit, particularly patients on low incomes or patients with disabilities, older patients. So there has been resistance in healthcare. Sometimes I think for understandable reasons, because they're sort of firefighting, they're having to deal with what they currently know. It's very difficult to change your practice when you're overstretched, and people are inherently conservative. It's even worse whenever you're burnt out and you're trying to struggle to do what it is you need to do every day. So I think that's part of the reason, but nonetheless, there has been a certain apathy towards some innovations that certainly could have reduced suffering and improved care for patients.
And just finally, Charlotte, if we took one cohort of readers of your book being doctors themselves, how's the response been?
You know what? The response has been very positive. And I had one doctor describe it as a love letter, actually, to doctors, because I was very pleased about it, because I always said it's not a love letter to technology. And they said, well, it feels like it's a love letter to doctors, because what I've tried to do is understand fully what doctors are trying to do in their jobs and use that as a starting point, as well as the patient. The patient's really at the centre of this book, but to say, how can we do this better? How can it be better for ultimately for patients while understanding the duty and the burden that our doctors have had to face?
Charlotte Blees, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
It's been great. Thank you.
And Charlotte in 2026 is visiting professor at the Department of General Practice and Health and Primary Care at the University of Melbourne. And her book is Dr. Bot, Why Doctors Can Fail Us and How AI Could Save Us.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.